Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at windowskansascity.com.
We've got three big headlines on this episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues before Calvin Hayden joins us, the awesome conservative sheriff in Johnson County, Kansas, who's running for re-election in August in a primary, because he's getting primaried, and then in November. I think you're going to love this interview with Calvin Hayden, who's out there doing his best for the folks of Johnson County. We need more people in law enforcement like Calvin Hayden, and we are going to talk about everything, including his investigation of election interference. Our big headlines today brought to you by TicketsForLess.com. If you're headed to the Big 12 tournament this week or the NCAA tournament next week, TicketsForLess.com will get you set up with the seats you want at the price you want to pay. No fees added ever. Your promo code is always KKHI. That's KKHI at TicketsForLess.com for the best basketball tickets and Royals opening day. It's always TicketsForLess.com. And we get started with sports and a really, really, really smart decision by KU basketball coach Bill Self, in my opinion, because I think he's been kind of circling and waffling around the edge of doing this the last few weeks, not necessarily with Hunter Dickinson, who's had some nagging little things going, but whose shoulder popped out of place in the game on Saturday, and they put it back in place. Hunter Dickinson is not going to play this week in the Big 12 tournament, but he's fine. Kevin McCullough has been dealing with this nagging knee injury for several weeks now, and he's been on again, off again, on again, off again, and they're shutting McCullough down, and he's not going to play in the Big 12 tournament. I think this is absolutely the right decision by KU coach Bill Self. I think he's sort of been wanting to do this in the regular season, but was a little afraid to go a little deeper in on it than he did because he's worried about tournament seeding. At this point, it looks like KU is sort of locked in on the four line, a four seed in the NCAA tournament. And I think he's realizing that if he doesn't play Kevin McCullough and Hunter Dickinson in this tournament, and they show up, even if they lost to, let's say, Cincinnati on Wednesday night, if something like that happened, I don't think they'd be punished for that. I also don't think if they won that game, they'd be moving up at all. I think he's trying to tell the committee, lock me in where I am. My full team will be back next week. If the committee really wants to do a legend a favor, they'll schedule him for Friday, Sunday games and give him one more day to rest his guys and get ready to go. So we'll see how it plays out, but I think this is absolutely the right call, and I think it stinks for the Big 12 tournament. I think it's terrible for the Kansas fans that spend so much money and make so many plans, some of them renting hotel rooms. I mean, like, I know people who live in Kansas City that get hotel rooms downtown and make 48 hours of it sometimes. Sometimes Thursday, Friday night, you know, banking on the fact that their team is going to make it at least to the semifinal game. I don't remember the last time Kansas wasn't in the semifinals of the Big 12 tournament. This year, will this whole thing take on a different flavor? I'm guessing Iowa State fans are going to take this thing over. Kansas fans are going to go. They like the college basketball. They'll certainly go to the Kansas session. They will sell their tickets en masse if KU loses the first game for the second game. But I think KU still wins their first game without McCullough and Dickinson. I do. I don't think much of Cincinnati or West Virginia. I think playing in front of all those Kansas fans and a team that will be, I think KU's hair will be on fire in that first game. I think the guys that will be called upon to play will play really, really, really hard, and it should be a really great effort. Now, the execution, I can't speak to that. Without two first-team all-Big 12 players, will Kansas go win a game? Look, I think they will. I think it will be about effort, crowd support, and things like that. And Bill Self coaching, I think they find a way. I don't think it'll be easy. And if they lose, I'm not going to, no big deal if they lose. You're not playing your boys, and you lose a game, you lose a game. But a wild decision by Bill Self that I feel like he's, especially with McCullough, I feel like there was a point about 3 weeks ago where he wanted to shut McCullough down until the NCAA tournament. Look, they got a great game out of McCullough against K-State. They won easily last Tuesday night. That matters. It matters in the rivalry, whatever the rivalry is. They are, you know, both undefeated against each other at home the last 2 years. So the last couple of years, it's been a straight-up kind of rivalry in season anyway. And Bill Self has made the decision. Long rest could be up to 13 days rest for Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough. I think that's a really solid decision. Unbelievable story came out on Monday. Deadspin is dead. Deadspin, the website. This is the website who had the writer named Karen Phillips, and this is a man, C-A-R-R-O-N. Karen Phillips was their race in sports reporter, their diversity reporter. Deadspin, I never go to Deadspin. It's long been too liberal In the beginning, it was half politics, half sports, but all the politics was liberal. So I never went there. They moved it eventually and said, let's drop the politics because sports fans in this country, you know, we're not going to sit here and do NFL stories for liberals because they don't care. They're not coming to our site. So they tried to become an all sports site. That failed. This thing has been sold and sued twice. This is now the third time it's been sold and sued. A company called Lineup Publishing, with European owners, purchased Deadspin. And on Monday, the CEO of the company basically sent a text out, an email and text out to everybody that worked there. This is your 30 minutes notice. You're unemployed in 30 minutes. Your phone will be locked and your computers will be turned off. Unbelievable. Everybody, the entire staff is gone. Out. Zero. There is nobody at Deadspin right now. Somebody somewhere is putting some stories up there because I went there before the podcast on Tuesday morning. Their lead story today literally is the Jets add Tyrod Taylor as their backup quarterback. So they're clearly just picking things from off the internet and pasting them up there. They're not doing anything original right now. They have none of their own stories up there. Karen Phillips is out of work. And you remember Karen Phillips is the guy who wrote the story about 9-year-old Holden Armenta of California who went to Las Vegas for the Chiefs game and had his face painted half black, half red. He is Native American. His dad works for a tribe in California. And they basically wrote this story that the Chiefs are and the NFL are fostering and cultivating racist 9-year-old kids because he's got blackface on. They took a picture from the side where it was only black. They never showed the red. The story was a complete click piece, just trying to get people reposting it all over the internet to get people to go to Deadspin. And it worked. They got millions and millions of views out of this thing, and they got their butts sued. Holden Armenta's dad filed a lawsuit 3 months ago against Deadspin. It is ongoing. And 3 months into the lawsuit, the company sells to new owners and everyone, I mean everyone, is fired. They are toast. They are absolutely gone. And I know that I continue to just bring you winning stories, especially in media where the left is losing. It started before Elon Musk bought X. That's obviously the biggest, most high-profile one. I'm waiting for another big shoe to drop. As I'm watching, we'll get to this in a moment, News Nation last night with Chris Cuomo and Tucker Carlson, each on different sides politically. As interesting and entertaining as that was, I'm waiting for somebody to make a big move and do what we used to have. And that was shows like Crossfire or Hannity and Combs, where you had a host on each side and you talk things out and you let people decide on their own. It's been missing. But X certainly is balancing out the tech sector, and I'm waiting for Discovery Networks, which is their largest shareholder, is a billionaire who's conservative. Discovery Networks owns CNN. CNN has moved to the middle. They are not in the middle. They have moved from the left toward the middle. They're not all the way there. The question is, will they go farther? Will CNN play it more fair, or will they wait until after the election? What exactly will they be? They have no ratings to protect. There are all kinds of outlets doing this now. Websites, liberal websites, are dying everywhere. They're just croaking in real time right in front of us. Major city newspapers are dying everywhere, and they are all liberal, and they're croaking. It's fantastic to see. Elon Musk has empowered others to say, look, this will work. Nobody's questioning whether X is going to survive now, right? That just took a few months. Nobody's questioning that. There's other platforms. There's places you can go. Trump has Truth Social. The left started something up. That isn't working. The people who all said they were leaving X didn't leave X. They're there. And it's a real town hall. And it's fair. And it's changed almost everything. And I think it's changing the way investors are looking at media properties, saying we've got a glut of leftist properties that are just not making money. They're not viable. They get sued. They hire crazy people to be race in sports reporters who go after 9-year-old kids and get the company sued. And we can sit here and blame Karen Phillips all we want, but the fact is he's got editors and bosses that approved of all of this, that hired him, that wanted this to be the content that they're doing, and you simply can't do it. It is a great, great day for media. I can't say journalism. It's a great day for media in America. Our next news story is brought to you by Cross Kitchens, KC.com, family owned and operated. This is Kansas City's remodeler. Tim Cross, his wife Brittany, and their young family would love to work with your family on creating spaces that build memories for a lifetime. CrossKitchensKC.com. For free in-home consultation, call 816-898-7047. It's CrossKitchensKC.com. Advantage Termite and Pest Control is the only pest control company we've ever had. We've known the Wolcott family for over 20 years now, and Advantage Termite and Pest Control is the best in the business. They're great at what they do. If you sign up for regular service, which we have, they come out 3 or 4 times a year. They treat your property in the way that it needs to be treated, where you never see anything. If it's an unusual season, if something happens, if some ants start getting in around a kitchen window or something, you call them and you say, I'm seeing some ants, don't know what's going on here. And they come right out and it's free. It's just included in your regular service. It's great service. There is nobody like them. Their technicians are nicer, friendlier, and more professional. They're cleaner. They respect your home in a way that others won't. I promise. Advantage Termite and Pest Control. Make the switch. 913-768-8989. I could not take my eyes off News Nation on Monday night. I couldn't. Chris Cuomo is on there interviewing Tucker Carlson. And here's what they did. They sat down for a couple hours and interviewed each other, apparently at Tucker's Florida home. Tucker posted the whole thing on X. Cuomo runs his show at 7 o'clock Central Time, Kansas City time, on News Nation, which is owned by Nexstar, whose CEO is a conservative. They're headquartered in Dallas, Texas, USA. They're trying to play it fair. They also own Fox 4 in Kansas City. They own a bunch of Fox affiliates around the country. They own a whole bunch of really big television stations in really big cities. This is a big company that's trying to do network news-style stuff on cable. It's called News Nation. Chris Cuomo has the 7 o'clock show there, and it's been for a year and a half he's been on there, and nobody's been watching him. He's been trying to play it fair. He has Bill O'Reilly on as a guest. He gets conservatives on. He plays both sides. And somehow he sits down with Tucker Carlson, which is amazing to me because Tucker Carlson spent a year or more during COVID just annihilating Chris Cuomo, who has revealed in this interview that Jeff Zucker, his boss, would not let him fight back. Tucker Carlson would make fun of Cuomo for lifting weights at his desk, for taking shirtless pictures of the muscles in his arms, for being a mask and shot guy, but being at the yacht club and out jogging without a mask, yet doing all these stories about where everybody has to wear a mask everywhere. I mean, it was brutal what Tucker Carlson said about Chris Cuomo. Like, all out hatred. In this interview, Carlson says, I did it because I hated Zucker. And Cuomo said, that still doesn't explain why you came after me. And Tucker Carlson said last night on News Nation, because I'm a dick. And Cuomo goes, really? And they sat there and they discussed things and they talked about issues and you cannot take your eye off this. And the difference between watching it on my iPhone and watching it on my 70-inch flat screen are two entirely different experiences. They just are. I tried to watch some of it on X on my phone. I watched a little bit, but I couldn't wait until 7 o'clock to see what Cuomo was going to do with it. To me, the interesting part is somebody interviewing Tucker Carlson back on television. It's been 11 months since Tucker's been on. Part two of this on News Nation is 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. I recommend that you watch. They're going to discuss January 6th and the difference between men and women. Genders. It's going to be wild. It's very, very, very entertaining and interesting. And I wonder if this is a precursor to some negotiations with News Nation talking to Tucker Carlson about possibly doing a show in addition to doing his X show. I don't know. All I know is that the CEO of Nexstar Media in Dallas, he lives in Flower Mound, a really wealthy guy. He runs that media corporation, and he is a big donor to GOP politics. So we've got Discovery Networks that owns CNN. The largest money guy is conservative. And we've got the CEO, the man who runs Nexstar, which is News Nation, is conservative. They are there. They're not going to allow their outlets to be hard left, I don't think, going forward. If they just move into the middle, that's all we can ask for. That's a great thing in America because a major part of the problem in this country and the reason people believe the wacky stuff they believe is what they watch. They just watch somebody tell it to them and they believe it is the truth. And when that happens, we all lose. Our guest today is brought to you by Amazing Garage Floors, online at amazinggaragefloors.net. If you'd like to get a bid on that awesome new garage floor, or maybe even more importantly, sealing your driveway and sidewalks, call John or Heather at Amazing Garage Floors, 913-901-7000. 7139 for a free estimate right now. 913-901-7139. Man, your garage floor ought to, guys, you got to do this year. This is the year. You got to get this done. It is incredible the difference it makes in your property and in your home feeling like a home and you feeling like a man in your garage, to be honest. It's cool. 913-901-7139. And our friends at MyPillow.com have a half-price Giza Dreams sheet sale going on right now. If you use the promo code, it is half price. The promo code at MyPillow.com and MyStore.com is always KKHI, and I really appreciate it if you're shopping there to use my promo code. And maybe just go shopping and look for something cool on there that you could use. They've got a great sale on slippers right now because it's end of slipper season. All of these things. Of course, he invented the greatest pillow on earth. I've been sleeping on MyPillows for over a decade now, going way back. I love MyPillow 2.0. It's phenomenal. You're going to love this pillow. MyPillow.com. Your promo code is KKHI. Calvin Hayden is the Johnson County Sheriff. He is our guest today. He's a DeSoto native who's been working in Johnson County since 1981. He has a long career with the Sheriff's Department. He has worked undercover through the years. He is an arms instructor. He has also worked in the court system. He's a member of the U.S. Army Reserves. He's a proud NRA member. Since 2016, he's been sheriff in Johnson County. He is everything you want in a sheriff. He is Trump with a badge. Here's what I say about this election and to the people of Johnson County. Abortion is not on the ballot when it comes to sheriff. Byron Roberson is going to be running as a liberal, a liberal Democrat. He is the Prairie Village police chief, and he's running Prairie Village exactly like you think a liberal police chief would be doing. This is a very small police department. And he wants to run hundreds of officers as the Johnson County Sheriff. People are really, really, really mad at Sheriff Calvin Hayden because he opened an investigation into election fraud in 2020. It's turned all media against him. The Kansas City Star, KSHB, Channel 41, will do anything they can to keep Calvin Hayden from winning this election in November. This is a subject that you cannot touch politically. Nobody in Johnson County will touch this with Calvin Hayden. And how sad is that? Is he old enough to retire? Sure. He's got a military pension. He's worked for the county. Calvin Hayden will have a great life as a father of five grandchildren if he doesn't win this election. What kind of statement would that make about our safety and security in Johnson County if we turn our back on the man who has done a phenomenal job because he investigated, not because he's done anything, because he's investigated election fraud in Johnson County, and the media and people watching the media turn on him and say, we'll do anything we can now to go get a liberal sheriff in Johnson County in Byron Roberson. This will be a disaster for residents of Johnson County if Calvin Hayden does not win this election. This will be the most interesting interview you hear this week. Calvin Hayden is awesome, and he's up right now at KKHI. Hit it!
The Kevin Keatsman Has Issues conversation is presented by Back 9 Development, your custom home builder, online at back9development.com.
Sheriff Hayden joins us now, and this is going to be a fascinating discussion. He is a massive target of the left, and everybody that listens to this podcast knows that my favorite people on earth are the ones that are just wildly attacked by leftist media. Sheriff Calvin Hayden. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hi, Kevin. How are you? Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, first of all, for all your years of service dating back to the early 1980s in Johnson County. I know you're a lifelong resident here, and your great work as sheriff since 2016. You've pretty much touched all the bases and done everything you can and have within the sheriff's department. It's been quite a ride. Congratulations on all your success.
Oh, thank you. I've had a lot of fun doing it, and it's an honor to serve.
What would you say the most difficult challenge is for being Johnson County sheriff?
Wow, that's an interesting question. It's about most difficult challenge is trying to keep everybody happy. We're very diverse. There's a lot of opinions out there right now, and we've got some keyboard warriors that like to pound on you for different things. But to me, some people say you politicize the office. It's really not about a political position. To me, it's just about right and wrong, and trying to do the right thing for our citizens.
Indeed, that's the case. And doing your job, you've become quite a target. One of those things was in after the 2020 election, you began to investigate how Johnson County voted, the way the inner workings of the county vote system worked, because I think most people, at least on one side, thought, wow, this can't be right. Joe Biden got 10 million more votes than Barack Obama did when he was president. I don't think anybody believes any of that. So everybody all over the country started looking into what exactly happened. It's a new world with big tech and all these things going on. Once you started investigating that on behalf of citizens who had complained to you, I mean, you were getting complaints in your office about this. So you follow up and you start investigating. What personally happened to you at that point? Because they just came after you, didn't they?
Yeah, it was. I was kind of surprised by it because we really didn't want to investigate this. We tried to hand it off to the at that time, the Secretary of State, and they didn't want to look at it. And then the Attorney General at that time, and they didn't want to look at it. So it was on us, and we felt an obligation to look into it. So I handed it to my detectives and said, guys, if there's something here, let me know. If not, we'll move on. And the more they dug into it, the more they thought something was there. So, and the minute that people found out that we were doing that, man, it was, you know, you're destroying the confidence in the election system and all these different things. And the big lie, the unfounded, you read the paper and it was the undocumented, unfounded lie that there's something wrong with the elections. it really surprised me because at that time we were just starting to get into it and we had to educate ourselves on it. And we didn't know if there was a big lie there or not. And in fact, we still don't. It's probably one of the toughest cases we've ever tried to work on.
You know, I would say this, any national election, and I know we're talking about Johnson County here, but in 2020 was a national election. Any national election that doesn't across the board require citizenship and a photo ID to vote cannot be a fair election. That's impossible. And we also know that big tech and media repressed an awful lot of news around election time to keep the public from finding things out. That's also election interference. I think the media is complicit in interfering with the election. So when people hear election interference, they're thinking, oh, somebody who has some big bag of ballots that walks up to a library somewhere in Johnson County and stuffs a ballot box and in goes all this stuff. There's a million ways to rig an election or cheat an election. And I don't know that a lot of these are necessarily criminal in finding where you can catch somebody on video doing something, but my goodness, there was all of these different ways with different laws in different states where elections could be cheated. And they're literally on the left now bragging that illegals are going to have the right to vote in California this time. They're just going to let them walk in and vote. It's just insane.
You know, I'm with you on that, Kevin. There are a lot of ways to do it. And I think that there's these open borders are creating all kinds of issues. I mean, we got millions of people coming here and we for them to have the opportunity to vote when they walk through over the border is just unacceptable. And in fact, I think it's illegal in most places, but we've got people that think we shouldn't be checking IDs and or even verifying who these people are that come into our country. It's extremely dangerous. I mean, when we talk about terrorism and the potential for terrorism, it's just unacceptable to have this many people here. And the election process is for us is if we found that they were not doing something according to statute, there would be no penalty in the statute. So there is nothing criminal you can do with it. And I went and testified about some of the issues. And I'll be honest with you, I think at this point, people should be upset that it's so hard for law enforcement to look into their elections. We get blocked, and I understand they want to keep everybody's anonymity and your vote is private. That's not what we're interested in. We're interested in complying with state statute and doing things per statute. And it is extremely difficult. I've never seen people get lawyered up so fast in my life. And we did try to give them pointers on chain of custody and how to properly do things to ensure that there are some checks and balances here. Oh my gosh, we got letters saying we were injecting ourselves into the election process and all kinds of threatening letters. And that's not what we do. We're just trying to keep it fair and safe. So, I mean, this is a non-political issue as far as I'm concerned. I think everybody wants to know that their vote is counted correctly, and some way to verify that. And I, as long as we're doing these electronic machines, nobody knows. I mean, it's like a black box, and we have to just trust what comes out, and you can't verify it. It's just silly.
And the mail-in voting is even crazier to me because I don't know the post office inner workings, but I got to figure if I drop my ballot in the mail, at least 20 different people will have access to that before it arrives at the Johnson County Election Office. And that's before it gets to the election office. And I don't know what goes on when those things come in through the mail, but it's going to be in the mailbox. A postal carrier is going to have it. They're going to go to the post office where it's going to get sorted and handled by some people. But there are several people that work there that could also have access to it. Then it's going to go to another post office where multiple more people get a chance to handle it and do whatever. Then it's going to go to a letter carrier or somebody that's going to take it to the Johnson County Election Office. I can't even imagine, you know, we're supposed to show ID and yet we mail these things in and don't know who touches them. I want to go back to something you just said a moment ago, because you said that there's in the statutes, there's no real punishment. I still get ballots at my house for my children that are grown. Okay. When they turned 18, we registered them all. They were all in college. So the ballots came to the house. They filled them out and voted by mail and it was all secure. My daughter lives in Kansas City, Missouri. I've got a son in Texas and a son in Arizona. They all three come to my house. You're telling me if I fill those out for them in Kansas, that there is no law that's going to punish me, that I would break a statute. I'd clearly be breaking something, but it's not criminal.
It's interesting because if you can vote for somebody, if you have a durable power of attorney or there's a lot of different, I mean, there are so many different nuances to being able to do that. It's unbelievable. And every excuse in the world gets made. Again, it's the perfect reason that, I mean, Johnson County sent out hundreds of thousands of filled out information requesting a mail-in ballot. We got two, and my wife was so bad because, and they had all of our personal information on there.
Right.
And when you ask somebody, well, who approved this? It's like, remember the Bears and Far Side where everybody's pointing at each other? Nobody's accountable. It's the darndest thing I've ever seen. Well, the county commission, well, we didn't authorize it. The election commissioner, well, I did it, but I don't know who authorized it. Secretary, and that's what you run into. There's no accountability. There's no outcome here. And it's difficult.
Yeah,
but you know what? We're not quitting, and we're going to continue to look. And I'm sorry if it's unpopular with some people. But we have an obligation to investigate it until we reach a successful conclusion.
Okay, so you're still investigating, and you said your officers, your detectives, told you that they came across some things that led you to believe you should investigate further. Can you share any of that? You know, or update us on where this is or where it's going?
You know, I really can't. I wish I could, because there's a lot of people that are saying, well, show us something. And I will tell you, if this investigation doesn't come up with anything criminal, we will put out a list of all the things we found that are questionable. And just to let people know that maybe some changes can be affected at the state level. But we'll put that out. But the guys tell me that there's still information they can get. And, you know, we've kind of been obstructed in a couple of ways. They just destroyed a bunch of ballots. The county commissioners did and saw fit too. So we've also got to look into that now.
I also remember seeing a story after the election or leading up to it of somebody who did go. The reason it always pops in my head is one of these libraries where they had these ballot drop things where all of a sudden there was security footage and it disappeared. And nobody saw it. They said, well, we saw it, but now we can't find the footage. It's just gone from Johnson County. That somebody literally did pull up to one of those drop boxes, open up a giant satchel, and put hundreds of ballots in there, and off they went, and now the video's gone. Are things like that highly unusual, or should we expect people to try to do this again this year?
Yeah, all I can tell you is it's possible because a lot of the drop boxes didn't have cameras on them as they should have. So it's anybody's guess at what could have happened there. We did some surveillance during the election to see if anybody was doing that. And we didn't see anything in our covert operation there just to keep an eye on things. You know, and even doing that, it's a, it's a thorny path because you don't want people see a police presence there because they want to have freedom to vote and not be harassed or feel like they're being harassed. But we're one of the few agencies that just kind of stay back in the peripheral. Almost all counties have a sheriff deputy present in their poll places, just for security.
This is a two-pronged question. One's Johnson County, obviously, but then the other is nationally. Do you feel better about the security or effectiveness of our elections in this coming November than you did 4 years ago?
I think there's a lot of information coming out about elections and some of the weaknesses that are occurring. Every day there's something new coming out. I mean, Darleaf up in Michigan or Wisconsin, he just released a lawsuit that he's having some questions. So, I mean, the information is coming out slowly that there could possibly be some interference or inaccuracies. So I'm optimistic that we'll get a good number. But these black boxes, it is just so crazy to me that we would rent a computer system for millions of dollars and nobody can verify what's in them because the manufacturers are protected and that you can't touch them because of the maintenance contract. And you're just relying on this box to do the right thing. And there's very little accountability.
Yeah. And we continue to see massive shifts in results in real time on some of these things. It happened last week in the Senate primary race out in California, 500,000 votes or something switched from Steve Garvey to Adam Schiff, like in an instant. They just went from one column to the other. You're like, what was that? I mean, people could see it on their computer screens in real time. You're like, what was that? Nobody knows what any of it is. It's so disappointing that we've gotten to this place. It seems so simple. One person, one vote, one ID. And I personally believe it's racist when Democrats say that we can't ask for voter ID because, you know, Cal, people who live in the inner city and, you know, black people, they're not smart enough to have an ID is basically what they're saying. I can't think of anything more racist than saying we can't ask everybody to have a photo ID. Well, everybody has a social security card. Let's put photos on those or something to identify you on those. Let's use social security cards. I got no problem with a national identity card. We don't. The government knows who we are. Our days of being even having a chance to be off the grid are over. That's not, you know, just can't happen. You can go disappear in the woods somewhere, but they still know who you are somewhere in a computer in D.C. I don't understand why we can't have a national voting card for everyone.
I agree. Or a day off to vote and make it a day or two. I mean, if it's on Tuesday, use Monday and Tuesday and you have to come in and, you know, but a paper ballot, I mean, my goodness, we've got money counters that can count millions of dollars, verify if it's a good bill, record the serial numbers, take a picture of it, record the actual denomination of the thing. And we could do that with ballots. They're not hooked up to any computer at all.
Yeah,
and you could do that. And the technology is there and the ability for somebody to look at their vote through a password or anything should be there, too. There's just not a lot of transparency in the election system, which I think is they are more concerned about getting those numbers out on election day for the news than the accuracy or the transparency of the elections. And we should have that as taxpayers. We should be able to verify and say, look, it's accurate. I know it is. I check mine. You check yours and we'll all be okay. But the transparency is they lose the accuracy because of the speed and they want these computers to do it immediately. So at 10 o'clock news, we know who won the election. You sacrifice a lot for that.
Yeah. Well, Calvin Hayden's sheriff in Johnson County, you've got an election coming up and you're now a target this year because you're a little bit like Trump. You want fair elections. And if you say that and you're on the right, they're coming after you. Now they can indict Trump 91 times. And George Stephanopoulos on Sunday on his show gave the biggest lie of big lies, saying that Trump was convicted of rape, which was a joke in an interview that he did with Nancy Mace. I don't know. We're going to see if he gets punished or penalized or whatever from something like that. But they make all this stuff up. They get 91 indictments and all these different charges against Trump. But somebody on the right says, we want free and fair elections, and we're going to take a look at this and see. And all of a sudden, that becomes criminal action. There's such a double standard. It's amazing. This has put you in a position where it's apparently, I mean, you tell me, it's going to be much harder for you to win and remain sheriff this year than before, because somehow you're a lightning rod because you want to investigate and make sure the elections in Johnson County are fair. What has this done to you politically?
Oh, it's damaged me. But you know what? I hope the citizens of Johnson County know that I wouldn't engage them in anything for a political purpose. In fact, it would have been a whole lot easier to do nothing. And because you do your job, if I get held accountable for that, then I'll take that hit. But I'm still going to try to protect the citizens of Johnson County. And if I have legitimate complaints, we're going to investigate them. If we find some validity to them, we're going to continue the investigation. So I hope people understand the easy political route would have been just to ignore this and tell these people they're crazy and as much of our news and papers do. But in good conscience, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And we're going to do the right thing and try to protect our citizens. And, you know, we do a lot of things that are controversial to some people. But that's not my job. My job is to keep the citizens of Johnson County safe, regardless of political things. I am a politician. I have to run for my position. But sometimes you put yourself out there. You know you're going to put yourself out there to make hard decisions. And one thing about it, nobody's going to say we take the easy route.
Well, I know that my audience wants to help in any way they can. And if you're one of our great listeners in Johnson County or business owner, you have the ability somehow to help with this campaign this year. We'll take all the help we can get. The website is calvinhaydenforsheriff.com. That's calvinhaydenforsheriff.com, really like all one word. Or if you want to just volunteer, or you have maybe a service or something you could provide for the campaign, give them a call at 913-944-2623. That's 913-944-2623. It'll be in the description of the podcast there as well, so you can see it if you're driving right now or whatever and can't write that down. I certainly understand, but it's calvinhaydenforsheriff.com. I'm sure you could use all the volunteers you can get and any help or any donations people would like to give for your campaign. You're going to get primaried in August and then the general in November?
Yes, sir. We're looking for all the help we can get, and they're kind of grouping up on us, but that's all right. We're still going to do the job and make sure that we're taking care of our citizens. That's why we're here.
Well, I know we'll talk to you about the election as the year goes on. I want to ask you about the problems that everybody has. Johnson County certainly is not immune to these. When I spoke with you recently, you said the drug problem is something you've been working in Johnson County since 1981, that it's never been like it is now. Do we have a lot of illegal aliens bringing this in? Is this cartels? What's happening with the drug trade, not only in Johnson County, but all over our metro area?
Well, basically, it is all over the metro area. They're shipping it in through UPS, FedEx, the Postal Service. They're bringing it in up our I-35 artery. They're transporting it. It's mainly cartels that are doing it. And it's fentanyl. And a lot of fentanyl-looking drugs. Our officers are seizing it daily. And if they're not getting it from the post office or car stops, it's prolific and it's everywhere. I've been recommending everybody if they can to go out to a drugstore and get some Naloxone or Narcan. It's not as expensive as it used to be. And if you've got children, you need to, or teenagers, you need to have some in your house, because this stuff is everywhere and it's very addictive. It's not hard to find. They can buy it over the internet now. Mm. It's really, really scary what they're doing
what's most common? What do they think? What drug do they think they're taking when they get this fentanyl?
Well, the fentanyl's so addictive. They're putting it in everything. They put it in marijuana. They'll put it in different forms of white powders that you see out there, cocaine. They're putting in some cocaine. They're putting in everything they can, because it takes a very small dose and it's so easy to come by. So, you know, the heroin that used to come through here is nothing now. Fentanyl's completely taken that over. I think it's It's our number one drug so far right now, even above meth. So it is very dangerous. You can get a pill, and you know they say one in four might kill you. That's absolutely the truth. That's what's happening. But we're seeing mostly these blue M30 pills that we're seizing a lot of. But there's also, I mean, any pill that you don't get from a pharmacist is suspect. Yeah. They are making lookalikes from everything from aspirin to you name it. They're putting it in there.
So this is new to me because I don't know much about this topic. When you said it's very addictive, that's what's creating the drug trade, is it becomes addictive and they have to have more and more and more. We hear all these stories, these high school kids or something that sample something, maybe even for the first time, and it kills them because they're getting the bad one. But what they're doing is, if you like what you're buying from these people and it's not killing you, you just get hooked on it and you stay on it. It just creates a recurring business. We're creating more addicts. Is that what's happening?
It's exactly what's happening. And the mental health's going through the roof because of the strength of drugs. And it's not just the fentanyl. I mean, we had a couple kids up here. It's not an overdose in some cases. It's just an out and out poisoning. A 17-year-old, two 17-year-olds break a pill in half. One takes half. The other one's okay. The other one dies. Parents find him on his desk. That's a poisoning. And luckily we've got the guys in custody on that, and they're going to get charged. But these cases are tragic because kids, they're playing on our children's, you know, there's not a kid in the world that doesn't feel a little different than people in school, you know? Yeah. So they'll take a pill from grandma and grandpa and the addiction starts. I've heard it thousands of times, and we've got lots of people in custody because of it. And they're playing on this stuff is so available and so effective at what they're doing, but it's also so dang dangerous. It's heartbreaking.
It really is. Illegal alien crime is way up all over the country. We saw the high-profile murder of Lake and Riley a couple of weeks ago in Athens, Georgia. That's where my daughter went to school, man. That touches pretty close to home. But it's just such a tragic story. This person was in the country illegally, so our feds had him at the border and released him into our population. Then he got picked up in New York for child endangerment. And then he got in trouble in Athens for theft. So three times we had this man in custody before he kills Lake and Riley. Two-pronged question again here. If you picked up this dude in Johnson County for either child endangerment or theft, what happens in Johnson County? Does he just get released like he did in these other locations? And how many illegal aliens and how much illegal alien crime are you seeing?
We've got a lot of people in custody of foreign birth. Our numbers are really increasing. I mean, we've got people from Russia, you name it, any country that you can think of. We now have an international jail.
You have an international jail. You have a separate area, or are you just saying it's international in its makeup?
Place of birth. Yeah. I mean, we've got everybody in here that you could even imagine. It's, from Africa, Mideast, Europe, you know, everybody, South America, you name it, we've got them here. And it's pretty violent. You know, there's different cultures, and a lot of the cultures have different ideas of how they manage. We've got a lot of people from foreign birth for domestic violence, a lot of fraud, a lot of identity thefts, murder, rape. Rape of a child. It's all over the place, and there is a surge in the crime going on here. Our district attorney's office will tell you that too.
How many of them get released? Now I know if you pick somebody up for murder, they're not going to get released, but how many of these people commit a crime and they're not citizens and they're born somewhere else and they get released in Johnson County?
Well, quite a few really, because if they don't have a hold on them for, an ICE hold, they don't get held. So if they make bond, they can make bond if they have the ability to do that. And a lot of them do. But that's beyond our purview. That's the courts.
Sheriff, this is just beyond reproach in the United States. If somebody is here illegally to begin with and then they commit a crime, they should be on the first train, bus, or airplane out of here back to where they're from. How do we even forget letting them out of jail at that point? They've committed a crime. How do we not send them home?
That is a question that is way above my pay grade. I've argued with a lot of elected officials how you could stand by and allow our borders to not be secure. I mean, that doesn't make you a country. And you have no idea who's coming through here. We've got a lot. There's national Chinese. I just got back from San Diego last week, and they've got thousands of Chinese nationals coming through there. Thousands. And why would we let that happen? Why would we allow that to happen and not at least be able to control who comes in and know who's coming in?
Right.
To me, it's a matter of national security, and there's a lot of federal people standing down. But the people that aren't, Border Patrol, they're losing their minds down there because they are being forced to not do their job. And it's frustrating for them. ICE, too. ICE would love to deport these people, but they're being told not to.
Well, we got to get some change in November. There's no question about that. Sheriff, there's been a couple of really high-profile cases in Kansas City, Missouri over the last month or so. This weekend, we learned that John Bartram, who was a bit of a celebrity, did his own TV commercials for Jericho Home Improvement, apparently approached a car, 63rd and Prospect, at a gas station, got shot, now they're saying, and died. They're saying the man who did it, they're claiming self-defense, but there are no details. There's no video, no details, no, did Bartram have a gun? Was this a drug deal? Nothing. The family wants to know. I have my own theories about media and why things are withheld, because they don't want them in the media. But this also happened with the Chiefs Union Station shooting, because a couple of those shooters were not 18 years old. They didn't want to give us the information on them. They have a very difficult time in Kansas City, Missouri, using the word gang or gang related or even like a drug deal. Like, they're not saying anything about this Bartram thing, which has all the classic markings of a drug deal gone wrong. Why do they keep this information from the public? What's going on? I know they handle their business way differently than you do as Johnson County Sheriff, but if they're keeping information from us, how does that do the public any good?
I agree. I think honesty is the best policy. I think transparency is key, but it's a battle we always fight, especially in law enforcement. We have an obligation. We know who we work for. We work for you. And if the information needs to be out there, for goodness sakes, if it was a dope deal that went bad, and I'm not saying it is or isn't, but if it was, the public should have a right to know that what's going on in that area. It's a matter of public safety to me. With juveniles, it's a different world with juveniles because they do protect their identifications. Now, if they charge them as adults, I'm sure they will eventually, then it's a different ball game. But with kids, for some reason, we protect them. And it's I don't think it's the best way to handle this. I think transparency is the way to go. We could have all predicted, and I could have. We had officers down there in Kansas City when it happened. And you can always predict that if there's young people with guns, they're stolen guns, so they're illegal guns. Nobody wants to attack the criminality behind stealing the guns. They consider that a property crime, not a person's crime. If you really want to end gun violence, if you steal a gun, you get 5 years in prison. And that will end a lot of the gun violence in these cities. We don't hold people accountable for property crimes, and it's a symptom that is costing us a lot.
No, it's amazing. On the left, they want to say, we don't want people to attain these guns legally, but the ones who get them illegally, we won't prosecute them. We won't do anything to them. Their policies, they contradict themselves at every turn. This is impossible to me. Obviously, there were some do-gooders there. The officers that responded, I thought, were fantastic. I was at that event. I shared that with you. I was not very far away from where it happened. I never felt scared or danger. You know, we weren't in any real imminent danger where we were. But the response was unbelievable the way the officers handled it. It was great. They did not, instill in any panic in anyone. People moved orderly away from it and left. There was no panic. The way the officers enforced that was just textbook, in my opinion. I don't know how they did it, because you don't want me on your department. I'll tell you right now, because I'd be the one like running, screaming, everybody's staying calm. It's okay, coming through. Everything was so orderly, it was amazing. And there were also a couple of personal heroes, just Chiefs fans. The one that tackled the guy a couple of times, that happened, I guess, at places. People, you see something like that, and you realize that it's an overwhelming number of us that are just good people, both the officers and the regular folks on the ground. But there's this small percentage of us that are just crazy. We got teenagers with guns in backpacks in a circle shooting at each other. What the heck has happened?
Yeah, who would ever thought? And how tragic is that the lady lost her life for no reason, none at all, and because somebody looked at somebody else wrong. And it just, it's just absolutely pitiful. But again, you know, until we start looking at criminality, and I hate to say this, but criminality starts at around 16 and it goes to about 34. And when I say they should get 5 years for stealing a gun, we're trying to get at 34, it drops off to almost nothing because of the maturity level. And if you can make your point when they're younger, it'll prevent a lot of this stuff that's going on. Now, I was a stupid teenager. We all were. And you do dumb things. Even the kid that was involved in it said, well, I did something stupid. Well, yeah, you did kill somebody. Now, that's not acceptable. They shouldn't have had those guns. But the gun doesn't kill people. It's the person behind the trigger that does the kill.
Yeah.
And people forget that. It's like saying a spoon makes you fat. Prosecute these guys when they steal these guns and hold them accountable. It's not that hard.
Man, I'm with you. Okay, as a final thought here, Sheriff, just a citizen anywhere, if you were just speaking to anybody personally as a constituent, a voter, a friend, whatever, what should we be all looking for in our day-to-day lives? If we're going to the grocery store, if we're in a parking lot, if we're driving down the road, what are some tells? Like, I saw a lot of backpacks and some hoodies at that parade that day, and I was like, oh boy, that's not good. I had a hoodie on, but it wasn't up because it was a warm enough day. There's no reason to have it up. I see somebody walking around with a hoodie up on a day like that. I'm like, doesn't look good. What should we all be on the lookout for in our day-to-day lives?
You know, I hate to say it, but just almost anything. If something catches your attention and it doesn't look right, give us a call. Give anybody a call. If someone's out of place, if they're acting weird, if you see people talking and it looks like a dope deal going, you know what you're seeing. And don't ignore it. It's easy to ignore things, but call us. If it doesn't look right, call us. We'll be more than happy to take a look into it and see what we can do. And a lot of times our presence there prevents things from happening. So we work for you. Call us if you see something that doesn't look right. I don't care what it is. If it gets your attention, please give us a call.
All right. Calvin Hayden for sheriff.com is the website. That's Calvin Hayden for sheriff.com, or you can call him directly at 913-944-2623. If you'd like to volunteer, you can help the campaign in any way. We got to mobilize all the great voters in Johnson County this year to keep Calvin Hayden in. This is imperative for the safety of Johnson County citizens. The media, all you got to know is they're all out to get him. The Star hates you. KSHB hates you. You got more media in this town hating you. You're Johnson County's Trump is basically where you are. But law and order is your business, and I want to do everything I can with anybody that I can meet to go get some votes. We got to get mobilized this year and get out the vote for you, sir.
Kevin, thank you so much. God bless you. We're going to try to keep the faith here and do the right thing for our citizens.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All the best to you, Sheriff.
You too. Thank you.
Take care. There is Calvin Hayden. He is the sheriff in Johnson County, and he's been with Johnson County since 1981, and he has just done great work. I am a huge fan of Calvin Hayden, and I don't know where the investigation's going on the election fraud. These things are hard to prove. They've had trouble everywhere. But just by doing his job, and trust me, there's a big enough budget, he's got a big enough department and enough detectives that they can spend a little time on looking into whether or not our elections are fair and honest, that this has made him enemy number one in Kansas City, and all media are just coming after him. And this is the most targeted man in Kansas City this upcoming election year. Besides Trump, this is the most targeted man. And this is a big deal, man. If you live in Johnson County, this really matters. The guy that's going to run against him in November is named Byron Roberson. He is the police chief of Prairie Village. I think it's like a 16-person department, and he's going to take over Johnson County with hundreds of sheriff's deputies. Not to mention how many may quit and go elsewhere if Roberson wins. He is a liberal. Prairie Village has gone liberal. They are, we don't cite anybody, let everybody walk kind of police force. And if Byron Roberson becomes the sheriff in Johnson County, it is going to be a wild change in business in Johnson County. It won't be that much different than Kansas City, Missouri, to be honest. It will not be that much different. It won't. So this is important where you live, whether it's Lee's Summit or Parkville or Blue Springs, wherever you live, get involved in some of these local races. And for crying out loud, let's figure out who the judges are and who the sheriffs are and prosecutors. And let's get some people in there to do this work. This is the year. This is absolutely the year to make the difference, to be tough on crime. It is on everybody's mind. And this is 100%. 2024 is the year to get tough on crime. And that means it starts locally. We got to make sure that our police chiefs, our sheriffs, our judges, and the people in charge, the prosecutors, are going to go with the law and lock people up and enforce the law. There's no greater example than Calvin Hayden in Johnson County. He's the most wanted man in Kansas City that's committed no crime. I guess that's the best way to say it. It's the only way I know how to say it. His appearance today on Kevin Kietzman Has Issues is brought to you by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC, home of the lifetime warranty. Build your own SUV or truck at Roberts Robinson in Excelsior Springs. Call 816-826-1563. Speak with my man Tim on the showroom floor and build it just how you like it at Roberts Robinson and GMC. We are professional grade. Ideal Health KC is Dr. Kip Van Camp. Regenerative medicine, your body's tissue and blood working for you. If you've got chronic pain or an onset of something in the last couple of years and you can't get it resolved, you owe it to yourself to sit down and discuss it with Dr. Van Camp. That doesn't mean you make the decision to go with him and do the treatment, but hear what the man has to say and see if it might be for you. Better than chemicals, pharmaceuticals, all this other treatment, Dr. Van Camp is on the cutting edge of regenerative medicine. IdealHealthKC.com, 913-745-5300. And the Finch Knife Company has a brand new knife out called the Hellfire, because why wouldn't they have a Hellfire pocket knife? You can catch this at Hill Creek Market in Lecompton or Shields in Overland Park. Of course, they're always online at FinchKnifeCo.com and nationwide among their dealer stores as well. FinchKnifeCo.com. They also will do customized knives for you or your company. Dr. Jeremy Fry had some of these made. I had them made for my sponsors. I can't say the other one that's doing it right now because I think some of his employees are going to get them and they don't have them yet. But these are great promotional items, gift ideas for your key employees or best clients. There's nothing cooler than handing somebody. I'm telling you, the response I got from giving those away was phenomenal. They will etch your logo right on a black blade. It's the coolest looking thing you'll ever give as a corporate gift. FinchKnifeCo.com. The phone number's on there. Just call Spencer over there. He will hook you up with any number of them that you want. They'll get them made for you and ready to go. FinchKnifeCo.com. That does it for this episode of KKHI. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen. We're over 67,000 followers and we've crossed over 5 million downloads. Thank you so much for all your support at Kevin Kietzman Has Issues.
Kevin Kietzman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com. For as little as $5 a month, support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.